Well, we all have something that we want to get better at in 2021, and I've decided that one skill that I want to improve in my life, something I want to get better at in 2021, is packing. Anybody with me here? Like, there's a certain skill required to pack a car well. There are some people that can just do it incredibly well. I have found that the engineers that I am friends with are amazing packers. But every time that Stephanie and I go on a trip, we try to get a little bit better at our packing, and specifically what it looks like to pack everything into the truck, you know, get all the people, all the I think back to when our kids were really little. Matter of fact, we used to live in Ohio. Our parents were in South Florida, both sets of parents. And so we had a long 24-hour drive every year to go from Ohio to Florida. And I remember it was the first year that we had the kids, and they were so little, but their stuff was so big, and it took up so much room in the car. And so for the very first time, I had a significant packing challenge. I didn't know if everything was going to fit in the car. In fact, it became apparent the further I got into the packing process that there was no way that we were going to fit everything with the kids and all the kids' stuff into the car. And I like to water ski, and you can't do that in Ohio in the wintertime. So I had all my water ski stuff, you know, ropes and handles and gloves and vests and a ski. And then Stephanie, she loves to read. And so if we're going to go on vacation, she wants to take like boxes, literally boxes of books with us on this vacation. And so we're packing the truck. And I get to that point where I realize like something's going to have to give. And it's either going to be Stephanie's books or it's going to be my water ski stuff. Now, I don't know how you resolve that in your household when you come to that kind of tension. Maybe, you know, you have to like thumb wrestle for it. Maybe you do rock, paper, scissors. Maybe one of you just like automatically, you know, throws in the towel. I don't know how you resolve it in your house. In our family, we're both pretty strong-willed. But in this particular case, it was amazing how quickly we both arrived at the same conclusion at the same time. It was just crystal clear to both of us. So we called the babysitter and we said, hey, we need you to keep the kids for a few days. There's just not room for them and all their stuff in the car. And off we went to Florida. So it was one of the best trips we've ever had. Actually, that's not a true story. But it does illustrate what I want to talk about today, which is this idea that as we leave on a journey, which we're heading into 2021, we're leaving on this journey, I want you to think of it like you're going on a road trip. And I want you to think about what is it that is essential to bring on this road trip, right? Because the trick to packing isn't always, you know, we think of it as just like remembering all the things we've got to bring. But that's only half of packing. Like, to be a really good packer, you've got to think about what are the things I don't need to bring, right? We travel often with my sister and her son, and they are the most amazing packers. Like, we did 2 weeks in Alaska with them, and all my nephew had was a backpack, like a small backpack. And he's like, everything, now, you know, he wore like the same three shirts and whatever, but that was amazing. So part of being a good packer is knowing what are you not going to take with you on the trip? What do you not need? And so the question I want to start us with today is, what are you bringing into 2021? What are you bringing into 2021? Maybe there are some things that you need to let go of. Maybe 2021 is finally the year we're going to say, there is some clutter in my life that I'm going to clear out. It's kind of like, you know, when you get to the gas station, at least with our family, everybody knows, we get to the gas station, we're going to kind of run through the drill, I'm going to put gas in the car, I'm going to check the oil, and maybe check the tires, and everybody else is going to clean out all the trash. All the trash has to go out of the car into the big trash can they have there at the gas station, because you cannot continue on a road trip if you just keep accumulating all of the trash. And maybe there's some things that have kind of gathered in your life. Maybe like me, one of the things that you're bringing with you into 2021 is your quarantine, right? Like somewhere along the way in 2020, just you found out an extra 10 pounds just snuck up on you. And so maybe one of your commitments in 2021 is you're going to get rid of that quarantine. Maybe it's some other stuff. Maybe there's a gift that's been hanging around that, you know, you just never know what to do with it because your mom gave it to you and you've never used it, but she gave this to you in Christmas of 1999 and you've kept it. You've through two house moves, and maybe it's finally time to let go of that Y2K preparedness kit. You know, like you haven't used it yet, probably ought to just toss it and let it go. Maybe there's a job that you need to let go of. Maybe it's time to say goodbye to that job. Maybe it's time to say goodbye to that boss. You've been talking about how you haven't been happy in this job for a long time. Maybe 2021 is the time for you to move to a new opportunity. Maybe it's a relational thing. Maybe there's some hurt and some pain that you've been carrying with you for a long time. Maybe somebody hurt you at some point, and that was a really painful experience, and you've been kind of holding on to that, and maybe 2021 is the year when you say, you know what, I have got to maybe sit down with a counselor, I've got to process these feelings, and I've got to figure out how to let go of what I have been carrying with me because I don't want to carry it into 2021. Part of having a successful road trip is knowing not just what you're going to take with you, but what are you not going to take with you. Now, I can't talk about road trip without talking about the new 2021 Suburban, right? You guys are with me on this. You know about this. I don't have to tell you why this is the ultimate road trip vehicle. No, this is not my vehicle. And no, we're not trading in this year. Our Suburban's only got 352,000 miles on it. It's barely broken in. But if I were going to trade in this, guys, I mean, not only can you take eight people down the road in perfect luxury and comfort and have room for the golden retriever and all your luggage and everything else in one of these vehicles, but this is not just any Suburban I've got here. This is actually the 2021 diesel Suburban. Have you heard about the diesel Suburban? They just started shipping them. 28-gallon fuel tank. It gets 728 miles on a tank of gas. Come on, can I get an amen? 728 miles, now that is the ultimate road trip vehicle. That means you can drive 10 hours in one of these things without stopping for a break. I mean, how excited is your wife going to be about that prospect, right? Honey, you know, we're leaving for vacation on Thursday, so I got to cut off all of your beverages on Tuesday. We can't have anything to drink for 48 hours before we leave because this thing goes 10 hours without having to stop. You could go from here to Washington, D.C. without stopping for gas. You could go round trip to Miami without stopping for gas. Like, this is the ultimate machine, right? But the problem is that when you really stop and think about it, that means 10 uninterrupted hours in the car with your road trip companions. And some of our road trip companions are better cut out for this than others, right? Some of them think that the only size drink you should buy is a 44-ounce drink every time you stop, right? And they're not going to make it 10 hours. Matter of fact, I just thought through, like, every family road trip, there's somebody like this. Here's a few examples of who you might have with you on a family road trip. The first one, of course, is the obvious, right? And you're going to have to raise your hand. Who has to stop too often to go to the bathroom? Any of you just really, really, Marina? Alan, okay. All right, I love you guys, but you know, that's right. You got to it's called bladder discipline. We talk about this a lot in my family. You got to practice some bladder discipline. All right, so the next one is somebody who says they'll help drive, but then promptly falls asleep. Any of you in the room like that? Like, you come out to the car with your pillow and your PJs and you're like, no, really, I'll help drive. And then 15 minutes later, sound asleep, right? And at some point they wake up like, wow, that was an easy trip. It didn't take us any time at all to get here. Maybe you're one of these people. This is the person who watches videos on their phone without headphones in the car, right? Or even worse, are any of those people here? Even worse, you're swiping through your Instagram stories or your TikTok or whatever, and it's just like, yeah. So bring your headphones, bring your earbuds. Or maybe you're one of these people. You offer helpful driving suggestions from the back seat. Anybody have somebody like that in your family? You're never going to admit if you're that person. Your family members have to admit that for you. And then finally, there's this person who may or may not be myself, who makes the entire car smell like beef jerky. You like that? right? All of a sudden, everybody's like, oh, what is that smell? You're like, hey, I'm up here doing the hard work. I'm driving. I gotta stay alert. Gotta have my beef jerky. So the question is, as you think about going off on this road trip of 2021, it's a really common question for us to ask or to think about, what do I want to accomplish in 2021? What do I want to bring with me? What do I want to leave behind? But I want to challenge you this morning to think in terms of not what, but who. Who are you bringing with you into 2021? Who are the relationships? Who are the people that are going to influence you? Who are going to help you make good decisions? Who are going to help you move in the right direction? Who are the people that are going to cheer for your success? Who are the people that are going to help you when you're on that decision-making precipice and you could go either way? Who are the people that are going to speak wisdom into your life? Who do you want to bring with you into 2021 so that 2021 is better? Because we want this year to be better. And one thing that I believe very, very strongly is that one of the surefire guarantees to have a better 2021 is to have better people in your life. And this doesn't mean that you're like mean or you just turn your back on people that need you, but it does mean that you surround yourself with people who are wise, who are moving in the right direction, who can encourage you as you make some good, healthy changes in your life as well. In fact, I've done a lot of reading the last couple of years on goal setting and setting new habits in life. In fact, you'll maybe notice that there's been a little bit of a shift in trends. So there's less conversation around New Year's resolutions and goals, and there's more conversation around habits. If you haven't read, there are a couple of good books I would highly recommend. In the last few years, I've read Atomic Habits by James Clear. That's a great book on setting up small habits that set you up for success. Another one is... his name just escaped me right now. All right, Power of Habit. If you guys remember, Charles Duhigg, Power of Habit. And then there's another one called Willpower Doesn't Work, which is a really great book that talks about the fact that your environment matters more than your willpower. And if you're one of those people that's always been like, man, I don't understand why I can't follow through, it's because we start off the year as believers, right? We all start off the year like, I believe it's going to be a great year, whatever. Like, but just like in our faith, following Jesus matters more than what we say we believe. Like, it's the actual doing that matters. The same thing is true in our personal lives. So if we want to accomplish more, we've got to create the right environment. We've got to set the right habits. And a big, big part of this is the people we surround ourselves with, because we all know this is true. The wrong people can take us in the wrong direction. Right? This is why, as parents, when you look at who your kids are hanging out with, it matters, right? It's a really big deal to you. Teenagers, if you are watching this today, teenagers, you need to know that when your parents talk to you about the friends that you are making and the people that you're hanging out with, it's because we have a little bit of experience. We have an intuition that comes from experience when we look at your friends, because we understand that there's incredible power that those relationships have in terms of where your life is headed and the direction that you're going. It's because we were once upon a time middle school students. We were once upon a time high school students. We were once upon a time college students. And when we reflect on those years, we know that the wrong people could lead us in the wrong direction. And we know that our biggest regrets involve someone you met, right? So much of the time, if you look back and you think, oh, my biggest regret in life is, and then you think about the people that were there, the people that were around you, the people that maybe encouraged that poor decision-making. And this is why, you know, now with a little bit of hindsight, we look back and we say to our kids, we say to our teenagers, I'm not sure that that person is the best influence for you. That's a really big deal for us, because we understand that the people we surround ourselves with have a tremendous impact on the direction in which we head. In fact, every single morning, I pray for many of you. I pray for each of my kids every single morning And when I pray for my kids, I pray several verses over each one of my kids. And it's different verses for my different kids and depending on what's going on in the world. But this one verse, I pray over all four of my kids every single morning. It's a simple verse. It says, the prudent see danger and take refuge. But the simple, or the simple-minded, or the naive, keep going and pay the penalty. The prudent, the wise, the careful, they see danger. They see danger while it's a long way off, and they take refuge. That's what I want in my kids. And I want, as I pray this for my kids, very often when I'm praying this for my kids, I'm actually thinking of a specific individual that's in their life, right? And I want my kids to understand that that person that's in their life may present danger, that that person may be leading them in the wrong direction. And so we all know this. We can look back on our lives and we can see examples of this in the past, but I want you to think about it in terms of right now. As we move into this new year, who are the people in your life that perhaps present danger? And what would it look like for you to be prudent and to take refuge? You don't want to be simple-minded. You don't want to keep going, and you certainly don't want to pay the penalty. Now, there's an interesting article that I came across recently, and it's from Business Insider, and it is an article that looks at the work of a guy named Moran Cerf. Now, Moran Cerf is a neuroscientist, and he specializes in decision-making. He actually has a thesis that we, as human beings, we burn a tremendous amount of energy when we are making decisions. And our brain is hardwired for survival. In fact, our brain is so hardwired for survival that our brain is always looking for ways to conserve energy, to burn as few calories as possible. And one of the ways that our brain does this is to daydream. So you find yourself daydreaming a lot, that's actually a way that your brain is just kind of going into idle mode and it's trying to burn as few calories as possible. It's a survival mechanism. When our brains burn the most calories is when our brains have to make decisions. And so there is such a thing that neuroscientists talk about called decision fatigue. It comes from this idea that we should try to make as few decisions as possible. We should reserve our decision-making capacity for the decisions that really matter. This is why Steve Jobs, for example, always wore the exact same clothing every single day. He always wore blue jeans and a black turtleneck. And one of the reasons that Steve Jobs did this is because he said he didn't want to waste any brain power deciding what to wear in the morning. He wanted to save his decision-making capacity for more important decisions later in the day. In fact, I thought it was interesting. I was reading about this guy, Moran Cerf, and when he goes out to dinner at a restaurant, he just always picks the second entree on the menu. Doesn't matter what it is. He just picks the second entree on the menu. He doesn't want to spend the brain power deciding what he's going to order. I just thought that was fascinating. I might try that for a little while. But this is what Moran Cerf says. He says, the more we study engagement, we see time and again that just being next to certain people, just being near them in physical proximity, actually aligns your brain with them. Okay, this is a fascinating thing. You see this even in the room today. Like as we came into the room, there are certain things in the room that make us kind of on the same page. Like the room's either cold or the room is warm. Then we start to sing the songs, and the songs have a similar feel to them. It's the music itself along with the lyrics, and these things cause us to experience common emotions. And as we experience common emotions, maybe I said something that was funny or I said something that was dumb, and you all have that same emotional response just by being in the room together. So anyway, this actually aligns our brain with them. They've actually studied people's brainwaves. It's fascinating. Based on their mannerisms, the smell of the room, the noise level, and many other factors, Cerf said. He goes on to say, this means that the people you hang out with actually have an impact on your engagement with reality. Your perception of, your engagement with reality is determined in some part just by the people you hang out with, beyond what you can explain. And one of these effects is you become alike. I just found this to be a fascinating article. Here's the last paragraph I want to read to you from this article. Cerf's conclusion is that if people want to maximize happiness and minimize stress, they should build a life that requires fewer decisions by surrounding themselves with people who embody the traits they prefer. Over time, they'll naturally pick up those desirable attitudes and behaviors. Now, this is incredible information. What he's saying here is if you want to be better in 2021, you should hang out with people that are better. If and you know this is true, if you've ever played any sports, or if you've ever done any kind of athletics, you know that your performance will plateau at a certain point if you don't start playing with people that are better than you are, right? If you're a runner and you start running with someone who's a little bit faster than you, you will become a faster runner. If you're a water skier and you start to water ski with people that are better than you are, you will become a better skier. You should seek out people that are better than you are. And it's not just true in athletics, it's true in the business world also. You've seen this at work, right? You want to get really good at what you do professionally? Start hanging out with people that are better at it than you are. You want to be a really great husband? Start hanging out with someone who's a better husband than you are. That might be a difficult search for you. You might have to look long and hard to find someone out there who's a better husband than you. But guys, I promise you, there's someone out there. Your wife can maybe make a list for you if you're not sure. But there's someone out there who you can learn from. If you want to be a better mom, you know, moms, I think, intuitively know this. Well, I watch moms do this maybe better than anyone. When a woman has her first baby, the first thing she does is she seeks out other women who are figuring out this newborn parenting thing. Or maybe they find a mom who's got like a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old, and they ask a lot of questions, and they learn from someone who's better than they are. So the question I have for you today is, who can you seek out that will help you become better in 2021? What would it look like for you to surround yourself with other people who are headed in the same direction in life? And I don't just mean in athletics. I don't just mean in finances. I don't just mean in your professional world. I mean, who is doing the Christ follower thing better? What would it look like for you to sit down with someone who's actually pursuing Jesus, who's pursuing a relationship with God, who's chasing after God, and they're doing it really well? What would it look like for you to come alongside them, to sit with them, to walk with them, to have them help you be a better follower of Jesus in 2021? Here's the verse that I want you to remember as we leave here today. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Whoever walks with the wise will become wise. Now, I think that's fascinating. It doesn't say whoever sits under the teaching of the wise. It doesn't say whoever reads the books of the wise. It says whoever walks with the wise. Whoever does life with the wise, whoever just comes alongside shoulder to shoulder and talks about the real issues of life, just by coming along someone who's wise, you can become wise. Now, this is really fascinating because this was written by Solomon. Solomon, we're told, was the richest man that has ever lived and the wisest man who has ever lived. So he is making an incredible observation from a position. I mean, can you imagine how hard does Jeff Bezos have to look for friends, right? I mean, I would imagine that's not a problem for Jeff Bezos. I imagine a lot of people want to get next to him. A lot of people want to be close to him. And Solomon was like the Jeff Bezos of his day, right? He was the richest man in the world. He was not only that, he is the wisest man that ever lived. And he made astute observations about life. And one of the ones that he passes on to you and I is that whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, just by walking along someone who's wise. But, and here's the warning for us, the companion of fools will suffer harm. Now, I think that's really interesting. It doesn't say that the companion of fools will become foolish. That's what you would think would be kind of the natural opposite. But instead, it's the companion of fools will suffer harm. You see, at the end of 2021, you could look back with some regret. There could be some harm done in your life if you choose not to walk with the wise. If you choose instead the companionship of fools, you won't just become foolish, you will suffer harm. And you will have regret. You'll have regret because of someone you met. You'll have regret because of someone that you allowed into your life. And I'm telling you right now, this is a fuel stop. This is a chance on this road trip of life for us to stop and to clean out all the trash in the car. And to start fresh in 2021. And maybe one of these questions is, who am I going to step away from? And who am I going to move toward? Now, the way we say this in student ministry here at Access Church is very simple. We say that your friends determine the quality and direction of your life. If you have a student here in middle school, you need to have them attending transit every Sunday because this is the kind of wisdom that gets dropped on them every single Sunday. If you have a high school student, you need them to be here and to be in a small group because this is the kind of thing that we talk about in our small groups in Inside Out every single week. That your friends determine the quality and direction of your life. You guys have maybe heard me joke that when my kids first started talking about wanting to get a tattoo, I said, that's fine. You can get a tattoo whatever age you want. You can be 12, get a tattoo. I don't mind. It just has to be this tattoo on the inside of your arm so you can see it. Your friends determine the quality and direction of your life, right? Like you need a visual reminder of this statement because this is something that will guide you. Your friends determine the quality and direction of your life. So as we move into 2021, I want to encourage you to think about who are you leaving behind? And who will you bring with you into 2021? Now, I can tell you one of the best decisions that Stephanie and I have ever made regarding who we surround ourselves with was a decision that we made many, many years ago, 20-some years ago, to begin meeting with other couples who are chasing after Jesus in a small group every week. We've been doing this for more than 20 years, and I want you to know that being together in community with other couples has been one of the single best things that we have done for our marriage. It's one of the best things we've done for our parenting. It's one of the best things that we've done for our finances. It's been one of the best things we've done for our professional decision making. All of these decisions are made better by the people that we have been around. And one of the consequences of 2020 is that many of us have pulled back relationally. Many of us are spending less time with people that could be advantageous in our world and our relationships and our decision making. And I would encourage you as we move into 2021 to say, I don't have to gather in large groups. If that makes you uncomfortable, I totally get that. But I think you need to gather with someone. You need to gather with some people that have wisdom to offer you. And I want to encourage you to register for GroupLink. Now, GroupLink is an event. It's a one-time event where we introduce you to other people that you can do life with in the context of a community group. And here's what a community group looks like at Access Church. A community group is between 10 and 15 people. It's just a rough number. But it's like 10 to 15 people who meet weekly. We say at least three times a month, and we meet in homes all around the city. So what you do is when you sign up for GroupLink, and the way that you register for GroupLink is you go to accesschurch.com/adults, okay? accesschurch.com/adults. That's where you're going to go, and you're going to register for GroupLink. And when you register for GroupLink, this next one coming up is January 24th, you will tell us a little bit about yourself. It's real simple. You'll just tell us, like, your stage of life. You know, are you married? Are you single? Do you have kids at home? Are you empty nesters? Like, where are you in the stages of life? And then you'll tell us where you live. And then you'll tell us, and I want to clarify this, you'll tell us what night of the week you cannot meet. I have to make that really clear because not everybody reads the instructions well on the form. But we want to know what night of the week can you not meet? And the reason we ask that is because we've learned that when you get like 15 people together and you try to get their calendars synced up, you know, the the idea of walking to be like, well, I would prefer to meet like Tuesdays from 7:15 to 8:45. You know, like everybody has their specific preferences. But when you come together in a group like this, you realize pretty quickly that schedules conflict. And you have to kind of arrive at not what is necessarily your ideal night of the week, but what is possible for you. And I'm not going to lie to you. Like, if you make the decision to join a group, it's going to cost you something. And in fact, this may be why you haven't joined a group up to this point, because you think, man, you just said like three times a month, and I don't think I can do that in my schedule. That's going to cost me something right there. And we've had some folks who've said, you know what? Like, I like the whole group thing, but it's just, man, it's a lot of time, and I don't know that I can invest that time. And I get it. Like, I have the exact same response when someone asks me to go to the gym. I don't have time for that, you know? Now, I have, if you were to ask me, and I'm just be really transparent here, part of the quarantine is like, I didn't go to the gym pretty much at all in 2020. Like, I got out of some really good habits that I need to get back into. And when I look back on 2020, I actually did this as part of my reflection on the past year. And I was like, I'm going to make a list of all the things that I accomplished with the time that I didn't go to the gym. It was zero. I don't know what happened to that time when I didn't go to the gym, but I guarantee you that going to the gym would have been a better use of that time than whatever I did when I wasn't going to the gym. And look, you can skip 52 group meetings. It's not even that really, because we take some time off in the summer and everything else, but let's call it 40 group meetings this year. You can skip 40 group meetings this year. If you choose to do that, my challenge to you is I want you to keep a list of all the productive things that you accomplished when you weren't in community group. Likewise, if you choose to join community group, I would love for you to keep a list of all the things that you learn, because the wise companionship that you've chosen to align yourself with. When you walk along someone who's wise, you become wise. Now, our groups are for everybody. Sometimes people think, oh, I don't know that I could do a Bible study because I just don't really know that much about the Bible. I feel like if I was better, if I understood the Bible better, then I could maybe do this. Or maybe you're at a place in your faith where you're like, I'm not sure I believe all the things that everybody in this room seems to believe. And I'm not sure that if I went, that my skepticism or my doubts, like, I don't know that I could really talk about that or be honest about that. I want you to know a couple things. First of all, our groups are so much more than Bible studies. Yes, we look at the Bible. Yes, we take a real look at what Scripture says, but our focus is on how we apply that in our lives. Our focus is on what does it look like for us to take this and make us better parents, better spouses, better sons and daughters, better coworkers. What does it mean to allow the truth of God's word to change us from the inside out? And so we are all on that journey. We're all in that process, and we invite you to join us. And if you're not yet a believer, if you're not someone who's yet said, I'm going to commit my life to following Jesus, we want you to know we need you in our groups, because your questions and your comments and your skepticism, they're good for those of us that have been in church for a long time. And if you're someone who would say, well, you know what, I'm already a believer, and I've got my Bible, and I do my Bible study by myself, and that's just sort of the way I do my faith. It's just like me and God. It's just me and Jesus. That's the way that I do my faith, and that's the way that I like to do my faith. You know, the problem with other people is they're messy. I've been around other people, they're problematic. And I would just kind of like to be like just me and God and keep it this way. The problem is, as we read the New Testament over and over and over again, that is not the way Christianity is designed. In fact, we say here at Access Church that we want to help you make friends, grow in faith, and live with purpose. And we chose those three phrases because they relate to what we call the three vital relationships. The first relationship is this community with insiders. The next one is intimacy with God. And finally, it's my influence with outsiders. We believe, from what we see in the New Testament, that this is the way a Christian should live, that these three relationships are all incredibly important. And that God says over and over again, you know, the Old Testament model, you just came to the temple and you had to sacrifice, and as long as things were good vertically with you and God, then you were good. But Jesus came along and Jesus kind of turned things upside down. He says, no. You've got to love one another. Like, if you love me, if you say you love me, you have to love one another. You need to live in community. And then Paul comes along, and Paul writes for us all of these, what we call the one another's of the New Testament. And they're all written by Paul. And Paul says that we should care for one another, that we should encourage one another, that we should love one another, that we should bear one another's burdens. He goes on and on with these one another's, and the idea is very clear that Christianity is meant to be lived in community. It's not enough for it to be just you and God and having your quiet time, and that's enough. Because someone out there in community needs you. Someone out there in community needs your wisdom. And so whether you are brand new to faith, or whether you're skeptical about faith, or whether you've been in faith for a long time, community groups are an incredible opportunity for you. And here's what we offer. Because we know that there's a little bit of reluctance going into this. I'm not sure what I'm going to get myself into. If you register for GroupLink, January 24th, 4:30 p.m., when you register for GroupLink, the commitment you're making is only an 8-week commitment. That's it, an 8-week commitment. At the end of 8 weeks, if you just feel like these are not my people, then that's fine. We'll give you a chance to recycle. We'll have another GroupLink coming up after that. You can jump into the next opportunity to be part of a group. But for 8 weeks, we ask you to just show up, join in, and be real. For 8 weeks, we just want you to show up every week. That's an amazing, important part of building relationships. Join in, meaning you don't just sit back with your arms crossed, but you actually become part of the conversation. You share a little bit, maybe become a little bit vulnerable, maybe learn a little bit from other people, and be real. Just be who you are. You don't have to pretend anything else. And I want to tell you, if you do this, you will be so glad. You will look back at the end of 2021 and you will say, 2021 was better because I joined a community group. Now, if that's not your goal, if your hope at the end of 2021 is to say, yeah, this year was no better than any other year. Like, if that's your goal, to not have a better year, then do not sign up for GroupLink, okay? You do not want to come to group if your goal is that you would just be, at the end of it, you'd say, yep, like my marriage is in the exact same spot, my career's in the exact same spot, I'm in the exact same places, then don't come to community group. But if you want to be able to look back in a year and say, wow, what a year. What a year of progress. What a year of growth. What a year of wisdom in my life. Then I believe that the single best thing you can do to affect your upcoming year is to surround yourself with a community of other people who want the same thing. And here's the deal with our community groups. Like, we need you. We need all of you. And if I decide I want to be in a group and I sign up for GroupLink, and then I get there on January 24th and I'm super excited about this, but I'm the only person there, and it doesn't work. What's really cool is when together we say, yeah, this is something that I want. This is something I need. This is something I'm willing to be a part of in this new year. We would love to have you join us to make this next step so that 2021 is your best year ever. God, thank you so much for giving us people. People that are messy, people that are unpredictable, people that are sometimes difficult to get along with. And yet it is through people that we learn. It is through people that we grow, and it is through people that we gain wisdom. And I am so grateful for the people that you've put in my life, for the people that have encouraged me to grow and to become a better follower of you. And so I just ask that you would give us the courage to take a step. Maybe for some of us in this room, we're shy, we're introverted, we just kind of like having time home by ourselves, and this is a big ask. God, I just ask that you give us the courage to take this step, to enter into community in this new year. We ask all of this in your name. Amen.